T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, the baseball schedule. Here's the Mets schedule. All righty.
That is two shows down for MLB All-Star Week. Three to go.
I think we put in some good work
today. I do, too. And I told you, I know that as this week loomed, you sort of circled it on the calendar, and Jay said, It's never that big a deal. We sort of throw our other discretion to the wind to do what we want to do, and that was that's how it's supposed to sound during All Star Week. I agree. This transition is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. Thanks to Jay Zawoski for jumping on to talk about Duncan Keith, Craig Calcaterra. As always, Shakia Taylor was awesome, and thanks to Brian Gertz and Connor O'Donnell and Jordan Malley. Ray Diaz helped out also,
Mike Rankin yeah,
helped out too early for the show. So. Yeah, it was fun.
It was.
Lawrence Holmes is here.
Hello. Mike Rankin helped out with the Francesa audio.
Anytime that you can play the Pope, sports Pope, it is always a thing.
That happened during a time.
A time.
On a day.
And a place.
I just love the fact that it was the most cliched reason possible. The Mets bullpen blowing a game against the Phillies that was meaningless to anybody who wasn't a Mets or Phillies fan, and just all hell breaking loose.
Sorry,
and apologizing to Pete Alonso.
Hey, man.
Alonso, I apologize.
The polar bear is out there doing his thing last night. You know what? I like guys who get it, and he gets it. Like, that's what I loved about the home run derby last night was – it's the way that spectacle is supposed to be. You're supposed to have fun. You're supposed to welcome in crowd participation. You're supposed to create drama with your timeouts. All of that stuff. MLB fights itself so hard when it goes into like the tradition of things. And it'll be sappy and syrupy tonight when you do the All-Star game and the history and the importance of the All-Star game. But in a situation like the home run derby, give us all of that. Give us the players interacting with each other and having fun. I remember thinking, and this was a few years ago, and this is one of the reasons why I like Alonso so much in this regard, is I remember watching the home run derbies. And I remember like looking at all of the players that were from other places and all of them congregating together. So it's like, the Dominicans are hanging out with the Dominicans. The Puerto Ricans are hanging out. And then there are the American players. And it's just like, hey, we're American and we're boring. And to see an American-born player, like, lean into, hey, this is a party. I'm about to hit this ball 500 feet. Let's have some fun. I loved it.
And the way they set it up. The way that they leaned into the aspects surrounding it. They're like, hey, guess what? We're turning the humidor off.
That's
down
right.
Chicka bow wow.
That's right.
Do you remember the year that Ken Griffey Jr. was all a scandal because he did it with his hat on backwards?
This was a culture war that happened at the score.
It's like,
what?
Oh, yeah. Wear your hat right. Turn your hat around.
This was an actual thing.
Yes.
I'm not apologizing.
How dare this guy? That's right. How dare he? I mean,
yum, yum, yum.
It was.
And you wonder how far we've come. Yep.
We have. In some regards, we've come a really, really long way. And so it's cool. Like, I love the fact, I love that you guys had Shake on the show. I think that she is one of the most important baseball writers in the country. period.
And I'm not one of the people to normally bring up articles from years ago, but I
she won an award for it, so
several.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth bringing up right now. Like, revisit old articles.
Did you
read stuff that maybe you have a different eye with now? Similar to us talking about watching movies with a different eye now than we
and
did
reading
previously.
Books. We're gonna have another author on this week. Emily Nemens, the author of The Cactus League, is gonna join us all.
The novel.
I can't wait for that. Yeah.
And
it's so good.
I'm just gonna put this out there because it's been percolating and I've talked about it to you two on the show today. Minnie Minoso belongs in the Hall of Fame, and I think as a city and as a baseball collective, we need to do more about this.
I think the first part is trying to tell Minnie's story to people because of how much time has passed from his playing career and even like the kind of carnival aspect of his playing career. But there's a clear line. If you look at the history of the White Sox and the recent history of the White Sox, of the impact that Minnie Minoso's career has had on that franchise. He is so important to what they're doing in 2021. That's the crazy part. I know that I was lucky enough, the White Sox had reached out to me before the season started, and we did a piece on Rube Foster. And I was happy about it. And then, some people were like, you know what we should do? We should do something on Minnie. And I agree. So I'm already putting a couple of ideas together on something that I want to do on Minnie. But he is, even like the fact that there is still an impact, that when you talk to Cuban players on this team, on the 2021 team, that they still talk about Minnie Minoso.
I think maybe I'm being a bit of a cheerleader here, but I think given our listeners and given how intelligent the city is as a baseball collective, and similar to understanding the importance of Tim Anderson, like we discussed with Shaquia on both sides of town, the same respect can be given to Minnie Minoso. Like, just everybody think about it. It's a good time to celebrate it, and I feel like that's a good project for us all.
And I think even if, before you get into his historical significance, his importance, if you just purely wanted to make a baseball statistical argument and look at some guys who are in and say, if this guy is in, this guy has to be. Even if you did a player A, player B, and had nothing to do with anything else cultural that does matter, that is important, that is significant, especially from the way guys get in from the Veterans Committee and other historical players.
He's at, what, 850 OPS for his career?
Yeah.
Look at those numbers during 54, since we're talking about the summer of 54 beer.
And looking by other measures of Hall of Fame statistics, if you look at Jaws, the Jay Jaffe number that uses peak war and career war, the average Hall of Fame left fielder is 53.7 Jaws. He's at 46.7, which is well close enough and well beyond many Hall of Famers. So there is there's an objective case and understanding now that he was incredibly ahead of his time.
Yes, when you have a career 387 on base percentage.
Yes.
I'm not saying abandon all your meatball takes, but just add this to your takes that he belongs in the Hall of Fame, all of us. And the more we talk about it, I think the better, because we're big time over here. We're a big city. We can get this going.
How about
you
this?
You two are big time.
He walked 850 times in his career. He struck out 584.
That plays.
Come on.
The numbers don't lie. Ball don't lie.
And then you can even then add on the cultural impact.
Then, yeah, that's a separate chapter.
And you say you want to respect the culture and acknowledge the culture and pay homage to it. This is how you do it.
It's so funny because, so I do the Rube Foster piece and I loved it. Like, I loved doing, like, combining things that I love, which history and baseball, you put them together. And I'd show the piece to my dad and he goes, so, when you doing the Minnie Minoso piece? And I'm like, you too? Like everyone, oh, fine. Then we'll do the Minnie Minoso piece because that was one of his favorite players growing up. So I'm looking forward to, if they allow me to do it, I think I got some crackerjack ideas on how to do a piece that will hopefully do some justice for Minnie. But yes, if this is your campaign, not campaign, but if this is your campaign.
He don't need us.
Right? He's about to get a ring, maybe. I'm in. I'm in on it. Because I think that if you look at there's nothing more that one would want from a Hall of Fame player than excellence on the field and impact off of it.
It's really a conversation that Chris Kamka had with me that lit the fire for me. And when Chris Kamka talks about significance and also baseball history, I think we all listen. And he started the We Are 4-9 Twitter account that is to help Minnie Minoso's cause.
So go to it and start following it.
Yes, I'll post that, and I'll post the link on my Twitter to the Mike Francesa random rant in June of 2 years ago that makes me laugh.
All of those things are good. And I don't know, because I kind of came in the middle of the interview with Shake. Did you guys talk about her White Sox cat piece?
No.
No.
I forgot.
I mean.
I love that one, too.
She's just, like, she's amazing. So the one that she did on the history and the cultural significance of the White Sox cat. Honestly, like I don't know if she would even be down for it, but the White Sox should just hire her and have her be their historian.
Sort of like what Bob Verdi was doing for the Blackhawks. Yeah, that's the White Sox hat. When they changed it back to the all black hat, and all of a sudden we used to joke about how it was the number of times it would appear like some guy that gets arrested in Afghanistan. He's got the white Sox fan, right?
Back in the yards.
Right? How did you just see it randomly like that? My favorite was when I was watching Straight Outta Compton, and the very opening scene, there's Eazy-E wearing the hat when they in a
before.
Year before anachronistically when that hat didn't exist yet.
Oh, sports and, continuity yep, strikes again.
Somebody in continuity had a job to do right there. And it would have been even cooler if he had like the script C one that they were wearing at that time.
Dan, I ran into the script C last week. I was walking around. I was walking around Hyde Park, and there's this French bistro that I like to go get croissants from. And I see someone with the script C, and I'm going, do we not give enough love to the script C?
You know, there's a picture, a famous picture of me on Twitter that people still use at the celebration, at the bonfire after Duke won the national championship. And I'm wearing a Duke sweatshirt and a half sideways, maybe completely sideways, script C White Sox hat. And I'm just drenched with natural light.
And
I don't mean like literal, I mean natural light beer. I don't mean like it's
natty light. It was no. The light.
No, like, no, no. No, I mean natty light. Yes.
I feel like that needs to be maybe reintroduced is the wrong, but there needs to be some love for, because obviously people love the Hitman. Because how could you not?
Yeah, the script C is so bad it's good.
I love right. The Scherzi aspect of the 83.
83. There's no one at the board, so I had to do it myself.
Who's running the radio station right now?
Well, Herbie's out over here playing hurt. I don't know if he can even type. There's all sorts of stuff that went on.
The finger picture did he get is it looked weird.
At? Yeah, yeah. He's been to the doctor, okay. And he's got a splint and everything. But okay. 16 in a softball, man. That's what it does. It breaks fingers.
This team is going to kill us all. What the heck is going on?
We
you,
had
Herb.
Well, I'm much better now than when we first started, and I think partially because we're playing. Like I was like, you need to get in shape if you're going to keep doing this. So it's been good for me. We had a moment last night that was just magical. So there's a rule. It's co-ed. So you're supposed to field two women on your team. And if you don't, then you get automatic outs in the lineup where the women would be. So we were.
What the heck? It's discrimination.
I agree.
Maybe you need an automatic base hit instead.
Well, the beautiful thing about it is that Claire, who is one of our best players overall, she wasn't there, and she was like, "Okay." We were like, "Is she coming?" And Shane's like, "Yeah, she just got out there. Like, she's gonna."
Claire Lane?
No, not Claire Lane. Yeah, Claire Lane. Yeah, Claire Lane. What is that a real name?
See, no, it can't be. You can't be a traffic reporter.
That's the thing.
Traffic reporter. It's like it sounds like Clear Lane.
Yes,
there's just no way her name.
I'm Dan
be like,
Ryan with
no,
the traffic.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh,
like Amy Freeze.
Yes, right.
That's her real name though.
I worked for a station that did that.
That's actually
that
her
the guy
name.
Would change, make every traffic person change their name yeah. to like something that related to like Dan Ryan, for example, or it'd be like, I'm Danielle Ryan with the traffic today.
In Raleigh, the two traffic reporters were Buck Naked and Stark Naked.
I'm That's Bishop funny. Lawrence Ford.
Oh, God.
Elaine Changer.
Yeah.
Elaine Changer.
There's a bunch of those. So anyway, we had this weird game last night that I'll go into greater detail a little bit later on. But the beautiful moment that happens is we're getting ready to get to Claire's spot in the lineup. And we were like, we told the umpire, like, hey, you know, she's going to be here, but she's not here. And then I saw it and I was like, wait, there she is. So she comes running through the park with a bag. Like, she left her family behind. She's running through the park.
That's dedication.
I ran out to go get her bag. I'm like, you're up right now. She grabbed a bat and slapped a single into left field.
Game
it was magical.
That's like the Yvonne Calderon story from Bellingham, Washington, where they were getting ready for the game. And I was at a bar, I ran into somebody who happened to be the manager of the Bellingham Short A team when Yvonne Calderon was there. And I told him about my love for Yvonne. I was like, oh man, Yvonne was a handful. I said some days he was there, and some days we had to find him somewhere around town because he said the highest point geographically in the town of Bellingham was the press box of the stadium. It's very flat. There's no tall buildings. That was the highest spot. So he wasn't there for the game.
Uh-oh.
And they're getting ready to start the game, and Yvonne apparently had overslept somewhere. And
somewhere?
So he sent like one of the coaches. He said, go up to the press box and see if you can find Yvonne.
Just look around and see if he's there.
It was like Blazing Saddles. The sheriff is near. So what did he say? He said the sheriff is near. So the guy's like, I see Yvonne. He's running. He's coming. And he was shirtless. And he said he had no shirt on. He was wearing penny loafers. And he's running at a dead sprint right down the center of town to try to get to the game on time.
Jesus.
No equipment, no nothing, no shirt. And he got there, and they're like, dude, wait. They said this is relatively common to have this happen in Short A.
Well,
the fact that you can find him is the real joy.
They said again, it's like, he's coming.
Well, to make Claire even a bigger legend, she gets the hit. I don't think we scored. We didn't score her, did we? That inning, we didn't score her.
Oh, man.
She comes back to the dugout and cracks a beer because she's a boss like that.
Hey, some news is happening on the baseball side of things.
What?
Who's been traded?
No.
Oh.
Rob Manfred has told the BBWAA, quote, I don't think 7-inning doubleheaders are going to be part of our future going forward, end quote.
I actually think that's a terrible idea to get rid of those.
I love those.
I like them, but I don't like the idea of the bigger picture being we're going to have less of our game while every other league is trying to give you more of theirs.
I heard you make that argument yesterday, and I think there's some merit to it. I just think that that's one thing that they've hit on that makes sense. Like, because of the damage that it does to both teams that play in it. If you're going to schedule doubleheaders, I feel like 2-7 innings is good to go. It's a little weird, but...
But if you're a team that has significant weather issues, like, say, living in Chicago can have because of rain or snow, you're talking about a notable amount of actual games being taken off the schedule. That's 4 innings every time.
Yeah, if you're talking total number of plate appearances for...
Two adds up to a game, people.
We got to change your incentives in the contracts, too. Like, I do think that agents should start putting in some adjustment factors for this math if guys are losing opportunities at the counting staff.
Make it like per inning or, you know, an aggregate of per inning.
And I'm beginning to wonder, and this is not an accusation on any team in particular, if there are strategic rainouts going on.
Oh, I mean, like,
hello.
Like on
hey,
both
I'm
sides
trying
of
to
town.
Be subtle just here, say, okay?
Look where you live.
I'm just trying to lead you to the place. I'm not trying to, like, take your hand there and drag you there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff where you're like, oh, walk outside. I'm like, I'm 3 miles from the ballpark, and it's not raining. Why are the White Sox not
It's
playing?
Not my fault. I led the horse to water, and the horse drank. I'm just leading the horse to water. But you know what I'm trying to say.
No, I do.
Once again, teams will do whatever they can to gain a competitive advantage. But please, by all means, make baseball more aesthetically pleasing by taking one for the team when you make your roster decision. It's not happening.
I think that you're right about it's weird that baseball is saying that there should be less baseball. But I also think that there should be less baseball.
I tend to agree. I think whether it's the total schedule or whether it's the interminable doubleheaders, especially with what's happening with bullpen arms and how you deploy bullpen arms now. And it's go as hard as you possibly can for this brief period of time, and then your elbow blows out, and then you get the next guy to do it.
I too like the seven innings, but it is having an actual impact on a lot of things because you're taking away a lot of time.
Taking away your means time, man. What you're doing. So here's what we're doing on the show today. The aforementioned Curtis Granderson is going to be on the show today at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk to him about the Players Alliance. Dion Miller is going to join us from Denver. She's been doing some really good reporting on the All-Stars that are there. I want to ask her about the Chris Bryant scrum yesterday and what was happening inside those questions that were asked of him. And I thought that he gave some good answers about Wilson Contreras as well. Top five is today. My top five White Sox players of the first half, or actually White Sox of the first half. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Say no more. Nod's as good as a wink to a blind bat, eh? Yes, I think I know where you're headed with that.
He's a weirdo.
But it's Monty Python.
Of course.
I thought that was an Australian accent.
By the way, Blazing Saddles is another movie that I don't think Tony has seen. and the thing is that I think that he would probably enjoy the hell out of Blazing Saddles. Because it's, you know, Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, and I think people misunderstand what it's
such
doing
a great movie.
Undermine. It's one of the great,
such a great
satires
movie.
of systemic American racism that's ever been made.
Is teaching Tony like some sort of like social triage where you have to go in order of importance? Like, what's the biggest gaping hole
no,
here?
No, you have to kind of go with what's he? It's hey, Mikey, he likes it. You have to go with what he might actually like.
Does anybody get that reference anymore?
No.
Do you get that reference?
Life cereal?
Yeah, okay. We're old souls.
I love life. It's great.
And the cereal.
I like the cereal.
Okay. I love lamp, too. There's another reference. So you two skedaddle, and I will talk to you both tomorrow. Enjoy your day. That is Bernstein and Rahimi. I'll see Layla later on, because we're going to be at the Summer of 54 thing.
Woo!
Woo, woo! Check them out 9 a.m. until noon. You can check out my show from now until 2. Herbie, with your broken finger. Let's go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.